Patti Smith also came to rock and roll via a circuitous route in the early 1970s. She started out as a writer, forging close personal and professional relationships with both photographer Robert Mapplethorpe and the actor Sam Shepard before turning to music. With the Patti Smith Group, she recorded classic albums including Horses and Easter. She was away from the stage in the 80s and 90s, during which time she lost her husband, Fred Sonic Smith, who was the guitarist in the band The MC5. But now she seems to be tapping into some vintage vibes again. As I suggested to Patti Smith when I met her, the new album, Banger, is laden with songs reminiscent of her heyday with Horses and Easter.
I wanted it to be a positive record in very difficult times. The last four albums I've done really resonated the loss of my husband and my brother and my mother and father and friends. So I wanted this one really to breathe life.
It's an album which is populated by an illustrious cast of characters. I mean, we have Amerigo Vespucci and we have Columbus, and then there's a reference to St. Francis, I presume, of Assisi, and Emperor yes. Constantine, and then we have a song called Tarkovsky, and there's a song clearly about Amy Winehouse.
Yes,
set to almost a 50s doo-wop
yes.
rhythm.
That song is just probably the simplest and purest song on the record in the way that it was written. We had really finished the album and were just doing a few more guitar overdubs. And I was revising a poem that I had written for Amy when she died. And my bass player, Tony Shanahan, came in and asked me if he could play me one more piece of music. And I was saying to him, no more music, no more songs. I need to finish the album. I'm done. And he said, well, just listen to this. I think you'll like this music. So he put it on a little boombox, and I was working on my poem, and then I said to him, Tony, your music and my poem are married. They were made for each other. I sang to the music on the boombox, this is the girl for whom all tears fall. This is the girl for whom all tears fall. This is the girl who was having a ball. Just a dark smear. The cadence of my poem went perfectly with his music. Spirited away.
And that was synchronicity you hadn't asked him to evoke, because sounds like is the sort of thing that she was doing on the Back to Black album with Mark Ronson, that kind of quite retro sound.
It's just part of our roots, yeah. You know. I mean, it's retro for a new generation, but it's what I grew up with, you know. And she understood the music of my generation and the generation before me, not in a approximate way, but an absolutely authentic way. Her voice was just a gift. You know, and
she was an intuitive musician.
Intuitive and intelligent, and she just had it. In terms of her voice, she had it all.
And you say you didn't have to sit down and kind of consciously map out the sort of music. It's the sort of thing that you grew up with. Now, of course, a lot of people grew up with Horses and Easter and that sound that you were forging in the early and mid-70s, and that influenced a lot of people in turn. So do you hear yourself on other people's records? Is that the sort of thing?
No.
Oh, there's a bit of me there.
I don't even think of that. I mean, maybe I'm drawn to certain things. I never really think of myself when I'm listening to people. I never presume that I've had any influence at all. And if I have, I'm happy. But I look at each person's work as their individual work.
As I say, there seem to be, you know, a vast cast of characters here. Some are explicitly name-checked. Others are possibly suggested. I mean, I heard the story of you and Robert Mapplethorpe in April Fool. Now, maybe I was reading too much into that, but the idea of the people down the back streets in the shabby raincoats.
That's nice.
And you've written about that relationship between you and Mapplethorpe in your book, Just Kids. So is that evoking
that spirit? That's nice. I mean, because it's an abstract song, so it very well could be. I wrote that song after reading Gogol, another Russian reference. Gogol was born on April Fool's Day, and so it's got references to the shabby coat from Gogol's overcoat.
Right.
I also have a very shabby coat, which I love.
We'll race through alleyways in our tattered coat, so come be my April Fool.
Does it matter if we misread the lyrics? Can we reinterpret what
No, because no song is just about one thing. Someone thought that Seneca was written for the Roman playwright, but it was actually written for my godson, whose name is Seneca, and it comes from the American Indian tribe Seneca. But, you know, it doesn't matter how one interprets a song. If I write a love song to a specific person, you know, hopefully they can relate that to a person they love. And, you know, because there are many truths.
Night, a nine of diamonds, a woman lay and cried.
Track 9 on the album is called Nine.
Yes.
Now, I wouldn't have known this from listening to the lyrics, but I was told that was about or a tribute to Johnny Depp.
It was a birthday song for Johnny. Johnny was born on June 9, so that's why it's called Nine. And I was in Puerto Rico with him when he was filming Rum Diary. I was taking photographs. And his birthday just happened to be coming up, and I had no gift. So Johnny always has an old acoustic guitar with him because he's forever playing. And I borrowed his old Stella and wrote him a little ballad. And so the song was written specifically for him. All of the lyrics are in, there's something about him encoded in those lyrics. Johnny and I are very good friends. He's really like my brother, because that was one of my great heartbreaks in my life, is to lose my brother. Mm. So now I have a new one.
But you lost your brother around the same time that you lost your husband.
A month after my husband.
Fred.
Yes.
I mean, that was a terrible time for you. And
yes.
But you stopped recording for a long time, but that was, I presume, pure necessity. You had kids to bring up. You had a home to look after.
Yes, Fred and I both left public life in 79, and it was a conscious decision because we both knew what life on the road was like and the demands of life on the road, and we decided we wanted to live a simple life and just raise our children in an environment where they felt safe and just knew us as mom and dad, not how the world might see us. And my kids had no idea I did anything except be their mom and write, because I was always writing at home.
So they didn't know about the rock star heritage?
No.
Did they know about the MC5 and his...
A little, but I mean, they were quite young when he died. They were only 6 and 12. I only had Fred for 16 years, but I had him fully. You know, we were always together. We were never parted. And so we had that time. And my kids now, I mean, I'm their mom. They don't care what the world thinks about me or how I'm judged. I'm still mom, and they're both better musicians than I am.
There were long periods of time in the 80s and into the 90s when you weren't making so much music, but you were always writing. You've
yes.
always continued to write. When you sit down, are you writing, is there a distinction in your notepad or on your computer between the lyrics and the poems?
Yes, absolutely, because when I'm writing a poem, I can be in my own world. Maybe no one will see it, maybe no one will understand it, but I'm not so concerned with those things. I'm concerned with the world within the poem. But when I'm writing lyrics, I have a responsibility to the listener. I don't write songs to be obscure. I write songs for people to hear, to directly communicate with the listener.
Rock and roll, to an extent, is still a young man or woman's game, isn't
yes,
it? So
yes.
Does that make it difficult now that you've got to go and sell the record, you've got to perform live?
No, because I'm healthy. I have a lot of feedback from really young people. Our concerts are very vibrant because a lot of young people come to our concerts, and I don't feel disconnected. And I'm not physically challenged because I'm very tough. You know, I might be the toughest person in my band. We still tour we're on a tour bus with 9 guys and me on a tour bus. The crew, the band, and I are all on the same bus. We stay in the same hotel. And really, I might be the scrappiest one amongst them. So I'm not worried about that. If I get to a point where I can't fulfill my duties, then I'll withdraw and work on other things, happily. But if I still feel that I can do good public service, I'll be out there.
Patti Smith, her new album Banger is out next week.